Thank you very much for that beautiful song. Again, I welcome you here this day, and for those that are live streaming, welcome. I'm always excited to hear my brother Gordon speak because I know of his great zeal for the work of the gospel. As I sat here and thought, well, I ought to tell a little story about him, but you all know him well. I have 100 stories I could tell about him. And but they're all great too. But just real quick, I thought, you know, when he and I was preparing to go to the Philippines here a few months ago, and he was making all the plans and schedule and everything, and he was excited to that we were going to get there on Sunday morning. And after traveling for about 25 hours, our brothers would pick us up and take us to church. And he had just another example of his great love for the work of the gospel. And he was questioning whether I'd be willing for that or not, if I'd be game for that. And of course I was, and it turned out great. But it's just an example of how eager he is to serve. And I know he's eager to speak to us this morning. So I give you our brother Gordon McCann.
Still nothing. Don't we just love? There we go. Okay, it works. Well, forgive me for the malfunction here. When I look out amongst you, I truly have joy in my heart. I'm glad to see each one of you here. I'm thankful that I'm able to. Be able to share this day with you. I'm grateful for the song that you sing. I was thinking about the power of song, how it can, how it has an effect on us, and how the Lord uses the gift of song to change the hearts of men, to help them to reflect on Him. I wait for the day that we're able to be with our Lord and hear those beautiful songs in heaven. I really do. My title of my sermon is, I Have Overcome the World, Not Me, But Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to, I didn't bring a PowerPoint this time. We're going to do it the old-fashioned way. Let's turn to the book of John in the 16th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 32 and 33 for you. These are the words of Christ. I says, when he was asking, he was speaking to his apostles or disciples at the time, and he had been preparing them for that time when he was not going to be with them. And we see here, as he was speaking to them, he says, do ye now believe? He was being very pointed with them. And he said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own home, to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And that's kind of the song that we sang, the first song that we sang. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's a lot in this verse that I want us to consider. And I want us to, you know, I hope that I can help you to understand that beautiful impact of that peace that God offers through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that through His death and resurrection, all men and women, all creation is now able to come to the presence of God at some point in time. So as we think about those things, everyone that we see on the streets, everyone of all the creation that God created, they have been given a gift, being redeemed from the fall. But yet they don't fully understand that beautiful gift. But I'm looking at a people that do. And so a lot of this is going to be pointed to you. Here in the words, it says, it says that in me ye might have peace. The opportunity is there. As in the book of Isaiah in the 48th chapter, the contrast to that, right? In 48, 22, it says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And to be able to kind of translate that to us is that when we find ourselves in our own humanness, as we do many times, do we have peace? Do we feel the peace of Christ in our hearts? At that time, I don't believe we do, because I know I experience it. But in all this, it's offered that Christ is offered to us. Because of what he did, I have overcome the world. And I want you to understand that this world, in all its turmoil, you can have peace, depending on the decisions that you make in this life. You can have peace, even though all those things are going on, because Christ overcame the world. One of the ways that he says that... one of the ways that that you're able to have peace, it has to do with knowing and understanding the truth. Like in John 8:32, where the Lord says, the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, he says, and he's speaking to them, in his prayer, thy word is truth. So it's very important to understand that peace comes from availing to that word that has been spoken and recorded for us. And that we're able to apply those things to our life and to have faith and to have that confidence that the things that we're able to read and to understand the things of God are true. And they bring forth that beautiful fruit of peace. And how often Satan tries to use our weaknesses to destroy our peace. And so those are the things that I would like to cover with you this day. One of the things, let's go to the book of Romans. The words of Paul. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use the words of Paul and I'm going to use the words of Nephi, because there is a parallel there. Two witnesses of two individuals in Romans in the 7th chapter, and I want to go to verse 24. We see here the words of Paul, where he looks upon himself. And he realizes, because of his weakness, he says these words, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If we truly want to be a follower of Christ, and if we want to have peace, we have to consider ourselves and our weaknesses. We have to admit to God, yea, Lord, I see those things. Help me to overcome them. And to know that he overcame all things and he is there for you. That through his blood and the power of his spirit, we may have peace. eternal peace with Him. In the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, in the third chapter, I'll get turned over there. There we find this a parallel, and I know where I know you've heard these words before. But let's go to verse 31 through 33. Nevertheless, this is Nephi speaking, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me His great marvelous works, my heart explaineth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I'm encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. Do you feel that at times? I hope and pray you do. Because that's the Spirit working with you in your life. That's the Spirit helping you to understand that you need to deal with those things in your life. And I found in my own life that He won't give me more than what I can bear, because if I saw all my weaknesses and all that, it would be hard to stand up and bear it. But He is faithful when we look to Him to give us an understanding of where we lack. Think about it when you read in the Gospels, when Christ is walking with His disciples, how many times certain things would come up and He would challenge them on it. Right? He would challenge them. A lot of times we see Peter in there being challenged. Even in the resurrection, you see them being challenged of their faith. Right? Who was the first one? I give credit to Mary Magdalene, who was the first one. He'd gone there with the mother, Mary as well, to go and tell them what they saw. And it was later that John and Peter ran to see for themselves. But even still, it was hard for them. It was hard for them. But out of all those things the Lord tried to do to prepare them for that event, they weren't ready. But how merciful our Lord was with them in helping them to understand all those things that He had taught them and all the promises that He had made to them, that He would rise, that He would rise from the dead to redeem all mankind. In 2 Nephi, in the third chapter, I want to continue to read. I want to read verse 34. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I trusted. I want you to remember those words so that when you find yourself seeing that weakness in your life, remember who you've trusted. Because Jesus Christ is able. He is able to help you. To help you, give you the strength, not only to overcome it, but to know in your heart and mind that you are His child and that you've been forgiven. Because you laid that thing on the altar before the Lord. With full assurance, He is faithful. He is faithful. I know in my young life, and I've heard others, when we have a sacrament service, and I know I have come asking myself, you know, the sins that I'm in, I don't even feel worthy to partake of the body and blood of Christ. But I want you to understand that because it's a commandment and because of the promise, there's a blessing. There's a blessing in that. And you need to understand that by not partaking of it, you are now making yourself further. You're taking yourself further outside of the truth. of the promise, I have overcome all things. And I want you to be with me. And because thy word is truth, and those commandments, we have to be mindful that we would prepare ourselves before we get to that meeting, humbling ourselves. Father, help me with this. Give me the strength. Forgive me. And then partake of those emblems, knowing that there will be a promise that comes with it. Those are the words of Christ. He gave it to us that we might have peace. And if we say, I'm not going because it's sacrament and I'm not worthy, are we not still in all that turmoil and all that suffering of sin? We have no peace. I mean, that's just an example. When we, in our lives, when we see these things, we have to look to Christ if we want peace, if we want to live. You heard me preaching a sermon about those of Israel in the wilderness. Remember that serpent biting them unto death? It's no different than in our own life. Remember, Christ says, there are no unclean things that will enter into my kingdom. So what was Israel was to do? They were to look. And we're to look. We're to look to Jesus Christ. We need to look and have faith that he knows and he understands our weaknesses. And he wants to help us. Let's drop down to 42 here in the second book of Nephi in the third chapter. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men have visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow? That hesitation to allow Christ to carry that burden for you. Why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart and destroy my peace and afflict my soul? You know, and I think about all the things that we're able to read in the Book of Mormon, Nephi, and the things that he wrote, and how he obeyed the Lord in those things. And yet, we don't see those weaknesses in him, because they're not written, except for here. He was human. He was of the flesh. He had weaknesses. And he had only one choice: to look to Christ. Why am I angry because of mine enemies? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. And so that is what we are to do in this life. Identify the enemy and allow the blood of Christ to destroy it in our life. There's no other way. There's no other way that we might have peace in our life is other than looking to Christ. In the book of Romans, remember I told you that there's a parallel. And here Paul, I would like to take you to chapter 7 again and verse 21. And this is a thing that I preach a lot when I'm with our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. In that verse 21, it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. How many times have you found yourself thinking that you're doing good or wanting to do good, and then after it's all done, you find out that it really didn't turn out good. It wasn't good. And it's because that Satan got involved in that good thought, in that thing that you wanted to do, the weakness of your flesh. Sometimes it happens in a way that you did not plan for it to happen. Sometimes it's the way you planned it. When I would do good, evil is present with me. You need to remember that scripture verse, because I know you want to do good. And you need to know and understand that Satan's there to destroy it. And that you have to be careful as to how you're going to do that good. How you're going to allow that good to actually bring forth good fruit. Sometimes we think things are good and it's not. And the only way we're going to know that is to present it to the Lord. And to know and understand His word in some of those things. You know, the only way I can maybe explain it to you is we had something that one of our brothers over in the Philippines wanted to do good. He wanted to do good. His son gave his father a motorcycle to the church. His father's an elder. And his father thought he would do good by giving it to someone else. Someone else that really wasn't supposed to have it. It was a leader. And there's guidelines about that. There's things that we try not to do. He had a good thought, didn't he? But let me tell you what happened. Because he did what he did, there was a problem. Because the church is responsible for those, and they repair them and pay for those costs for those things. But what happened was that person that motorcycle was given, he brought it down, and it got repaired by the church. And now everybody said, what's going on here? And it caused all kinds of confusion and schism. Well, he got this, and I, you know. You see how one good thought caused all kinds of problems among the brethren. And that's what it's talking about. Sometimes your good thoughts maybe need to be thought out better and in prayer. And trying to see why is it that you're trying to do what you're doing. Satan is always there to destroy those good things that we desire to do. So what could he have done? He could have given it to the church and said, here, my son gave a gift. How beautiful that was. How beautiful that was. Thank you. And now the church can register it, and we will give it to those who are brothers that have the authority to drive them and to use them for the work of the Lord. That was the good part of it. That was the part that could have been great. But because of the weakness, it caused schism. When I would do good, evil is present with me. You need to remember that, right? We all need to remember that. One of the things that we find in the book of Ezekiel in the 18th chapter, verses 30 and 32, where the Lord was promising, he says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Again, the whole focus is, turning our lives over to Christ, knowing that you have value, knowing that God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that he overcame all things, and he is there for you. And Ezekiel 33:11 says the same thing. Say unto them, as I live, as saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Again, remember, any sin is not acceptable before the Lord. And we have this day of probation that we have, that we might be able to overcome those things. That's that beautiful gift that was given to us on the cross, that we would have that day of probation. The blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ in 1 John 1, 7 through 9, but I'm not going to read all of those, starting with 7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I was thinking about those things that the Lord impressed upon my heart and my mind, I was thinking of my own personal testimony. How Christ rescued me from eternal darkness. I didn't listen to these things that I am preaching to you today. I know what sorrow is. I know what consequences are. And I understand that there is an eternal darkness, a complete separation from our God. And there is no peace. And I sorrow in my heart when I see our young people or older ones, when they are walking away from the Lord, the sorrow that they're walking into, I sorrow because I know what that sorrow is. I've experienced it. And I thank God that some of you have not experienced those things that I've experienced. I feel sometimes like Paul. I am not worthy to stand before you, only that I know in whom I've trusted, and he is able. And he can do the same for you. And in 1 Colossians 1, 19 through 20, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, to reconcile all things unto him. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Remember, he created the angels in heaven, a third of the host of heaven transgressed and rebelled against the things of God. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable without blemish or spot, meaning you will be cleansed completely. And unreprovable, unaccused, you are no longer under accusation in his sight. If you continue in the faith, and this is the important part, and you can underline it in your scripture, grounded and settled, that's where the peace comes from. Standing on that promise, knowing that the words of Christ and the words that we have that were Holy Writ have been given to us for an example and for strength and edification and to help us in these things in this life. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Many times I reflect on the words of Paul and the things that the Lord had done with him, where he was an example. And he reminded people, he helped people to understand that he was reclaimed by Jesus Christ. I want you to understand another thought, and you can find it in the book of Mosiah in the 8th chapter. We find that in his pureness, we have better understanding of these things that are spoken of within the scripture as we know in the Bible. But here in Mosiah in the 8th chapter, and I'll probably read, I'll start with 74. Yea, even the old serpent that did beguile our first parents, which was the cause of their fall, which was the cause of all mankind, becoming carnal, sensual, and devilish, knowing evil from good, subjecting themselves to the devil. Thus all mankind was lost. And behold, they would have been endlessly lost were it not that God redeemed his people from their lost and fallen state. But remember that he that persists in his own carnal nature and goes on in the ways of sin and rebellion against God remaineth in that fallen state, and the devil hath all power over him. So this beautiful gift of redemption, being able to have a free slate, so to speak, to learn of the ways of the Lord and to be able to be in his presence. And if we persist in our own carnal nature, we do away from that beautiful plan. We are the losers of that beautiful plan of redemption. One of the things that I know our brother Ken Orr, he has said this is some of his favorite words in the Book of Mormon, and I like them too, and I'm going to bring them to your remembrance today. It can be found in the Book of Mosiah. It's in the second chapter, page 220, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. And really, you remember when I first started off, the Lord asked his disciples, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" And I think it's appropriate that as we read these verses, think about those words of Christ to his disciples. Believe in God. Believe that he is and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth, by his word, these things came into existence by the spoken word. And how important it is that we understand of the spoken word, our own spoken words, because we're going to be judged by our words. So all these things came to being by the spoken word of God. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. So there's two things there. All power, both in heaven and earth. We have that. We have that for us, if we would believe. And the thing that, believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. You know, sometimes we outthink ourselves. Well, the Lord can't do that, or the Lord doesn't do that, or the Lord doesn't what? You know, have you caught yourself saying that? Because we can't comprehend it. But if the Lord has told us that he has overcome all things and to look to him, there's nothing out of that realm, if we're in it, that we're able to not do in the name of Christ. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And so the reason why I read that is because it's appropriate to us. Because we do hail, we do say that we believe. We have made that covenant with the Lord, many of us here. And we've endeavored to teach our children and all those who have not made that covenant or made that commitment to the Lord to look to Christ. In the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That is what Christ is asking us to do. My Spirit is going to be there for you. You need to walk in that Spirit and to listen to that Spirit and give place to that Spirit. I know that you have felt those things, and at times you've done them, and times you haven't. In the times that you haven't, were you in peace? Did you still feel comfortable with the Lord and your relationship? It's no different than with ourselves and our own relationships. When we have, like, if you're a married couple and you have a disagreement or whatever, it's not comfortable. I'm not in peace, and neither is my partner. But when we apply the words of Christ, that peace comes back just like that. Just like that. Instantly. It's gone. And the peace is there. In everything that we do, if you're in school and you're having problems with your teacher or with your friends or the people around you, you have to hearken to the words of Christ. And allow him to carry that burden and ask him to help you, to give you wisdom, to help you in those things and apply them. And when you apply them and you see the results of it, you go, wow, that's good. Wow, man, that's good. Now if I can all remember it, right? So if we go down to verse 10 here in that same chapter, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So he's talking about the relationship that in this body, we cannot serve God. But through the Spirit in this body, we can. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ shall from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And that was the other beautiful thing that the disciples and those who had put their trust in the Lord, when he said, I will return to my Father, and I will return to you. And they saw that. And they bear record of it. And we can read how many times Christ came and visited them, and we can see that. There were those who were dead that was raised during the time of Christ's resurrection. Walk the streets of Jerusalem. There's plenty of testimony concerning the things that Christ had spoke of and fulfilled. We have to remember those things in our heart and our mind. It will help us in our life. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye there through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." And that's the hardest thing to do that I can think of. It's putting to death those things that we are prone of doing. And how beautiful the words of Christ when he was speaking to his disciples. They said, "How often should I forgive my brethren? 7 times? Christ said, "No, 70 times 7. Or an infinity." So if Christ would say that to them in our temporal world, can you not expect the same from Christ in your spiritual world? That you're a child of God? "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God," sons and daughters. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. You don't have to be in that bondage of sin. Unless you choose to. To fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You've been adopted. He claims you. You're His. Remember the words of Christ in John in the 17th chapter when He was praying to His Father? There's a possessiveness in that prayer. All those that You've given Me, Father, I have kept. Are you one of them? You are if you desire to put your trust in Him and to be a part of Him. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Going back to the words of Nephi, in that second chapter, comparing the two different things, one of Paul and one of Nephi. Here in the third chapter of 2 Nephi, I'd like to, I'll read probably the 34th verse. And when I desire to rejoice, that's not it. 61. O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. And I, like in our Sunday school class, the Lord was telling His disciples, you need to ask. I would have to say in my own life, concerning my own sins, when all the wisdom of the men of that time and all the commandments said, this is your only option, is to ask. Go to your God and put your trust in Him. And He will give to you according to your faith. And He did. But I had to lay it all down. I had to imitate my Savior when He was in the garden. Concerning the cup that He had to suffer, He said, nevertheless, let Thy will be done. And that has to be your desire. Nevertheless, Thy will be done in my life. In whatever it is, in whatever circumstances. But you have that beautiful opportunity because you are His child. You can ask. You can ask. And if you ask in faith, He will give to you liberally. A lot of times He gives it to us and maybe we don't want it and we don't accept it. Or whatever the thing is, I know God answers prayers. And He speaks directly. And He will help you. He loves you. His desire is good for you. No different than we have for our own children. He wants you with Him in His kingdom. I want that to sink in to the point that He gave His Son that we might be forgiven, that forgiveness could be ours. John, the 14th chapter, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice," speaking to his disciples, "because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Do you believe? Do you believe that you're worthy? That you're worthy of that blessing that God holds out? I think of in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, in verse 10, 11, this is my last scripture. I can see this. He was there and he had been visiting with them after his resurrection. And it says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up," kind of like what our brother saw in the Book of Mormon, "behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee," there was a lot there, many of them that saw, "why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." That's the promise. He's going to come. He promises he's going to return. He's going to claim his. And I want each one of you. It's our desire that each one of you could be claimed of Christ when he comes. That, think about that. We live in the last days. The time is short. Can you look upon your life and say, if he came, am I ready? If not, what are those things that we need to put down at his feet and say, help me with these things? Only you can answer that question. Remember, he's coming to claim his own. He wants you with him. May God bless you in your desires to be a part of the kingdom of God. And I ask that you think upon this day, this beautiful first day, think of it as a hope, a great blessing that God has given each of us, that we might be a part of him. May God bless you.